Hello and welcome to Paradise. It is Thursday, June 16th. You're listening to Juniper Afternoon on KTOO. We've got a great show. We'll be talking to the guys who are starting up Devil's Club Brewing Company. We'll hear about this weekend's glitz with Lynn Davis, upcoming news about the Gold Rush days, and a puppet show at the Valley Library, and Arts Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs is seeking input on legislation to improve the Indian Health Service. A staff-led town hall in Rapid City, South Dakota, today was intended to give an overview of the legislation and provide an opportunity for public discussion on the bill. On Friday, the committee will hold an oversight and legislative field hearing in Rapid City. The committee is keeping focus on the Indian Health Service Great Plains area, which lawmakers have been examining and have pointed out some South Dakota hospitals for their substandard care. Tribal leaders have long called for improvements and say people's lives are at risk. In May, the Indian Health Service agreed to make changes to prevent funding cuts by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The Great Plains area serves thousands of people in four states. A local beer distributor has apologized and has pulled unauthorized ads using the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina's logo. Rebecca Martinez tells us more.
Beer distributor R.A. Jeffries has removed store signage promoting Budweiser beer using the Lumbee Tribe's four-color circular Heritage, Pride, and Strength logo and slogan. Anheuser-Busch said it was not involved in creating the ads. Both companies say they respect the tribe. The Lumbee Tribe filed a federal lawsuit against both companies this week. Tribal Chairman Harvey Godwin wrote in a statement, "As alcohol and drug abuse are often associated with Native American culture, the use of the Lumbee Tribal brand and an image of a Native American dancer in an advertisement promoting an alcohol product is viewed as particularly offensive to Lumbee people." The tribe and the companies declined further comment pending legal action. For National Native News, I'm Rebecca Martinez.
Tribes are gathering at an old fishing spot in Kettle Falls, Washington. Steve Jackson reports.
The concept began when the Upper Columbia United Tribes, or UCUT, purchased some old-growth cedar logs from a Western Washington tribal member. The UCUT group distributed those logs to area tribes, the Colville, Spokane, Kalispell, Coeur d'Alene, and Kootenai tribes, and the Okanagan nations have all used those logs to craft traditional canoes. UCUT Executive Director D.R. Michelle says all the tribes plan to rendezvous with those canoes at the old traditional salmon fishing site in Kettle Falls.
Each tribe is going to start their rendezvous from wherever they determine they want to, and the goal is for those canoes coming from those different locations to meet up with those other tribes as we come up and down the river.
Michelle says the Coeur d'Alene tribe is making the longest journey, some 100 miles, where they'll have to portage around some local dams. All the canoes will meet in Kettle Falls on June the 17th. Once there, D.R. Michelle says they'll pay tribute to their one-time major food source, the salmon.
There'll be prayers, songs. You clack rocks together. They hear those rocks tapping together, and it's like the water turning them. Those instances when the currents would be strong enough to roll those rocks and cobbles in the bottom, those salmon would hear that, and that's what we continue to do, is to, you know, have those songs and those prayers and work for bringing the salmon home.
The UCUT group is presently working on a feasibility study to determine how to reintroduce salmon above Chief Joseph and Grand Coulee Dams on the Columbia River. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
Officials are cautioning people with health issues in the White Mountains in Arizona to stay indoors. Smoke from the Cedar Creek fire is blanketing the area. The wildfire started Wednesday near the town of Sholo. The Northeastern Arizona Public Information System is providing fire updates, which include, as of Thursday morning, more than 5,000 acres burned. As of Wednesday, officials were urging residents in nearby towns to prepare for possible evacuations. People on the Fort Apache Reservation are among those being advised on the fire. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. If you or a loved one suffered from alcohol addiction, hear how recovery is possible from those who had their day one at nativenews.net. Support by the year-long celebration of Native American artist Lloyd Kiva New at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, the IAIA Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, and the New Mexico Museum of Art. Info at nmculture.org/LKN. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. It's 6 minutes past the hour on probably the most glorious and hot day we may have this summer. So thank you for sharing your day with us. As far as the weather tonight, it's supposed to get partly cloudy, lows around 52. Friday is mostly cloudy, isolated showers. We're looking at mostly cloudy right through the weekend, with Sunday being sunny, highs around 62. Right now it is a whopping 76 in downtown Juneau. So you're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I am your Thursday host, Joan Pardis, and Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's at the board. And our first guests are Evan Wood, Ryan Lindsay, Jacob Breigel. They are here to talk about a new company in town. It's the Devil's Club Brewing Company. Well, welcome, guys.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
So let's start with the very beginning. What is Devil's Club Brewing Company?
Devil's Club Brewing Company is about to be a new craft brewery in town. We'll be located downtown at the old Palace Theater. We'll be primarily serving beers at our location that you can come get a pint, get a growler, and buy some beer to go.
Wow, that sounds great. So you've signed your lease, and this Palace Theater, this is like an iconic Juneau building that's been shuttered for a really long time. I don't think I'm familiar with it at all. So what are you guys doing to the space?
Yeah, the building is really cool. It was built in 1919 as a vaudeville and cinema theater. It was the original theater in Juneau. And so it's been closed for about 20 years, I think, now, almost 20 years. And we want to bring it back to life and revamp that old social atmosphere that it used to be and create a place where people used to come and hang out, and bring that back and have a new place where people can come and hang out in downtown Juneau.
It sounds big.
It's pretty big.
I mean, when you talk about cinema, even 1919, when you talk about a cinema, it sounds like a big space. So you signed a lease. You're going to be a microbrewery, or you're in the process of being a microbrewery. How did this all come apart? Like, you guys look kind of young and entrepreneurial, obvious. So how do you guys know each other, and how did the idea come to you?
We all grew up together. We all went to JDHS. Me and Jake had talked for years about starting some sort of a business, and then a brewery just sounded like the perfect endeavor for the both of us. And then somewhere along the way, we found Evan, someone who's very science focused, and just seemed to make a good team.
Mm-hmm. So you're the brewing engineer.
Yeah, I focus on the chemical side of it. There's a lot of microbiology involved with brewing, and I did my undergrad in neuroscience, so there's also a lot of microbiology.
You hear that, everyone? You guys out there, take your science seriously. You science might own a brewery. So when do you think it's going to open, and when do you think we'll be able to sample yourself?
Well, we hope to be open by no later than April 2017. We could be open sooner than that, but we want to give ourselves a little bit of room so we can do everything right and make it look good and be happy and ready to give everyone beer and food.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And so what made you think that there was a niche in the market for a microbrewery here?
Well, we wanted to focus on something new with a brewery. We wanted to be able to serve beer by the pint and not distribute much at all. So it's going to be hard to find our beer for a while anywhere but inside of the brewery. So if you want to try it, we'll have to come, hang out, and drink beer, and we'll be able to serve you the pint and tell you about it and tell you about the process of making it.
Cool. Cool. And where did you come up with the name? I mean, Devil's Club is obviously a Juneau standard here, but why did you pick it for your brewing company?
I think someone had just mentioned it to us, and it seemed to really stick. Devil's Club has kind of this theme of adventure, and whether you like the plant or not, you've probably encountered it living in Southeast Alaska, and you're usually doing something adventurous, like getting outside and tromping through the woods. So,
going off the path.
we think it's a good analogy for the adventurous lifestyles that people live in this area, and we wanted to represent them. So we thought it was a good fit for the brand.
Okay, sounds great. As soon as you mentioned that, like Devil's Club, as soon as I heard it, I read it, it kind of like really interested to see what your graphics will look like, because for me it's something like, even though I can't see it, something pops up in my head, and I think that's what you're saying, that there's something about it, something intangible, so I'm really looking forward to your graphics. That'd be great.
Check out devilsclubbrewing.com.
You can
see our graphics.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, they were done by a local graphic designer, Michaela Goad. She's amazing. She went to high school with us as well.
Oh, wow.
She did all of our branding.
Oh, everybody's local.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like a big endeavor. You are revamping, bringing back to life an iconic building. You're starting a brewing company. You plan to have a restaurant, microbrewery, the whole shebang. How are you funding this?
Well, we're using the Kickstarter partially. We want to be able to build the tap room with the Kickstarter funds. And then for the outside investment, we have lots of investors that are helping us out along the way. We personally, being young and big dreamers, have been fortunate to find other people with deeper pockets to help us out, since we're all pretty freshly finding our own paths.
That is so great. So for people who are not familiar with the Kickstarter, let's talk a little bit about what Kickstarter and what specifically your Kickstarter is all about.
Well, it is a crowdsourcing website that you can get on, pledge a certain amount of money, and receive different prizes for that pledge amount. We have T-shirts, sweatshirts, growlers, whole packages of different sizes. We have a couple of pretty unique things in our pledges. One, you can give us some money and get your name on a fermenter, or I guess you could put whatever words you want on the fermenter. It's your fermenter.
Forever. It lasts forever.
Right.
And then the biggest one is you can come into our brewery, sit down with us, pick whatever style of beer you want to brew, and we will figure out the recipe with you, brew the beer, and then we'll throw you a party with that beer.
That sounds great. That sounds great. So people could go online, and what are the keywords that they need to find you when they search the web?
If you go to devilsclubbrewing.com, no apostrophe in the devils, that'll bring you right to our Kickstarter. Otherwise, if you just Google Kickstarter Devil's Club, you will find us that way as well.
Okay. And how much are you looking for the taproom?
We're trying to raise $20,000 for the tap room, but we can go over that, and any extra funds will just make an even cooler tap room for everyone in Juneau to enjoy year-round.
That is so great. Well, congratulations. This is a really exciting endeavor. And then I just have one, talking to the guys who are bringing Devil's Club Brewing Company to Juneau by hopefully spring of next year, if not mm-hmm. before. How old are you guys?
I'm 26. 26.
28.
Okay, old man
I'm
over
the
there. Jacob.
I'm the dad.
Yeah, there you go. He keeps him alive. And you all are doing other things at the moment?
Yeah, we've all got to pay the bills, so we're all working day jobs on the side that we just can't wait to stop doing and move on to our full-time brewing endeavors.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming by, and I hope that before April 2017, you're back here and your dream is going gangbusters. So best of luck to you guys.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Baby, loan me 20 bills.
hills. Get out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. I ran down to the levee, but the devil caught me there. Took my $20 bill and it vanished in the air. I'm running, but take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Got two reasons why I cry awake, lonely night. The first one's named Sweet Anne Marie, and she's my heart's delight. Second one is prison baby, the sheriff's on my trail. And if he catches up with me, I'll spend my life in jail. Got a wife in Chino, baby, the one in Cherokee. First one say she got my child, but it don't look like me. Sit down, run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's 17 minutes past the hour. Our next guests, one is joining us by phone and one is in the studio with Jeff and I. We have Lynn Davis, who is here, as well as Daphne Do All Chores, and they are here to talk about Gay Pride Week and a fantastic event that's happening this Friday night on the 17th at Centennial Hall, and it's called Glitz. And I'm pretty sure it's a drag show, but more than our typical drag shows in town, I think it's the big one. So, Daphne, you're on the phone with me, right?
I sure am. Hi, how are you?
I am great. My name is Joan. I'm the host here. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer, and the fabulous Lynn is in the studio. So tell people who are listening in Juneau what they could expect at this show on Friday night that starts at 7 o'clock at Centennial Hall.
Oh, my gosh. If you've ever been to a drag show, it's just a show. But this is a little bit bigger because, actually, Gigi Monroe, your local Juno area gal, has put together this incredible lineup of international talent and national headliners that come to, from all over the world to come and do a drag show. So you've got a performer in one of them from RuPaul's Drag Race, and the other one is one of the most outstanding drag kings we've ever known in our lives and will bring their artistry to Centennial Hall. Can I add real quick that it's an absolutely sweltering 74 degrees here in Anchorage right now, and I've got the air-conditioned seat on. Oh,
well,
my gosh, it's so warm.
It's 76 in Juneau. So there.
Oh, my gosh.
We're the banana
belt.
We're going
to be there. Don't I know it. We're going to be there in a couple hours.
That'll be great. So it's 7 o'clock to 1 a.m. It's all ages?
I don't know the particulars on that, but the bottom line is that it's usually an all-ages show. Depending on the liquor laws and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, sounds great. It sounds like an incredible lineup. We're really excited that you're coming down to be the MC. And definitely tell us a little bit about you. Where do you live and what kind of stuff do you do?
Well, I work at Mad Myrna's, the largest gay bar here in Anchorage, and I've been there for 18 years. I'm the chief engineer, and I also host the drag show every Friday night for the last 9 years on stage.
That sounds great. That sounds great. And then, you know, to all our listeners, obviously it's a really important time to support the gay and lesbians, the whole LGBT community in Alaska. And just want to mention a big shout out to the Juneau Police Department after the atrocity in Orlando. They sent a flower arrangement to the Southeast Alaska Gay and Lesbian Alliance Association with a note saying, "I'm so sorry for your loss, and we've got your back." So hopefully I'm not going to burst into tears here, but I might. So Lynn, tell us some more stuff about what's going on this week.
Sure. And, you know, I just mentioned Sunday night we had a comedy group called Pink Pony, and I actually was so heartbroken Sunday I thought I'd never be able to laugh. But they had such amazing improv artistry. You know, we laughed completely crack-up laughs. So that wonderful sort of razor's edge that my community has walked for many decades, actually. So a really, really important thing is coming up. The Assembly has a new proposal before it, and it's called an NDO, a non-discrimination ordinance. And what it does is add sexual orientation and gender identity to the list of protected groups that CBJ already has. And 200 cities nationwide have seen the wisdom in doing this, and Anchorage passed their protection plan last September. Bethel passed theirs unanimously. So we're hoping Juneau will be city number 3, and it will send, I think, a strong message to all of Alaska that despite the massacre, despite the ugly backlash from the massacre, and despite what our country is dealing with right now, almost 200 anti-LGBT bills have been introduced in 34 state legislatures. And so there's a real wave of rhetoric that's demeaning and dehumanizing. And so we want Juneau to stand up and say they have our backs.
And what can we do? So the people who are listening, what can we do about this? How do we let the Assembly know that we really support this?
Well, one is to come Tuesday night at 6 p.m. to the Assembly chambers. Get there early, get a seat, and the proposal will, we can give testimony. And we are having a trainer train people on the most effective way to give testimony, and that will be Monday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at Holy Trinity Church on 4th and Gold. So that's the night before. And then Tuesday, the 21st, the testimony can be given. So you can also send letters to all the Assembly members. It's real easy to go on the CBJ website, and then there's a completely easy link that just allows you to send all your letter to all the members, and you can give your strong message. You know, I think many people in Juneau may have thought, you know, gosh, we really covered this discrimination issue maybe 10 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago. But with the new environment of the rhetoric and the way that young LGBT people are so vulnerable these days, it's a different landscape. And we just need to make sure that Alaskans have the legal respect. LGBT Alaskans have legal respect throughout the state.
If you're just joining us, I'm chatting with Lynn Davis in the studio. She's talking about a non-discrimination ordinance with the CBJ, our local assembly, and adding LGBT to the non-discrimination ordinance.
So that we'd be protected in employment, housing, financial services, and accommodations.
It would be great to live in a world where we don't need an ordinance like this. But if you're in support of this, you should certainly come to the meeting on Tuesday at 6 o'clock at the Assembly chambers. There's a training Monday 6 to 8 about how to give testimony at Holy Trinity. And then the easiest thing possibly, it would take you maybe 5 minutes to go to the CBJ website. There's a link where you just can email all the assemblies members in one fall swoop. So in the light of what's going on in the world, I encourage everyone to do so. And then on the phone, we have Daphne Duolchores, who's the MC hostess of the Friday night drag show at Centennial Hall, which is going to be a big one. And so, Daphne, I have a quick question for you. It's called Glitz. It starts at 7 to 1. So for people who maybe have never been to a drag show, can you, you know, tell our audience how much fun it is? I mean, I don't want to lead you, but I've been to drag shows, and I have to say they're probably, I don't know, up there in the, like, the top 10 fun things I like to do. So, Daphne, what kind of words of wisdom can you lay on us as the MC?
One of the things that we always preach at our drag shows is the fact that we should all get along, we should all love each other, we should never judge each other, and we should all just get along, you know what I mean? And so I preach that three-step ministry at every show that I host. In this drag show, we'll have drag kings, drag queens, singers and dancers, and comedians come out and entertain for you. And as always, if you appreciate their art, then if you can, just, you know, slide a dollar bill down their blouse or in their skirt or wherever you can. Frankly, it's a tipping thing. So the reality is that what we have is we have a cast of people that are gay, straight, bisexual, confused, transgendered. I don't care if they're black, white, and purple. If they want to throw on a dress and heels, or they want to put on drag king makeup and be something else and lip sync or sing live, then they're performers and entertainers. And we appreciate all those people that come forward. And as the director of our show in Anchorage, we have auditions. You can't get into our show, our weekly show, without an auditioning process. And we want to help those performers find their niche. This is their art. This is their voice. This is their makeup skill. This is their hair and clothing and costuming. We always say, you're born naked in this world. Everything else is drag. So it's true. And if you come to our show, the Glitz show, this Friday night at Centennial Hall, which will be awesome. Last year we were at the Rockwell Ballroom, and we were just dying because there were so many people there. It was so warm. This year we're going to be in the beautiful Centennial Hall because it's so big. The reality is that you'll find people of all walks of life, and hopefully they will all get along, and they will all love each other, and we'll have an absolute love train going on in there and having a great time with everyone. And that's what I hope to bring to Juneau. In fact, I've got everything packed. My wife and I are ready to go. We're getting on the plane here in the next hour, and we'll be there just as shortly as possible. And then from there, all day tomorrow is nothing but glitz. Glitz, glitz, glitz. So please come dressed up. Diamonds, rubies, rhinestones. Dress your best. This is a night out in the nightclub.
And Juneau always loves to dress up. I'm making a joke.
God.
We're like rubber boot queen of kings, but this is your time to take out your tiaras or whatever and bring it on. But also, Daphne, let's talk a little bit, too, about this, like, crazy great lineup. So we have Gigi here, who's unbelievable, and a whole cast of characters here, local. But we Junoites, we like our outsiders. We do. We like our outsiders for entertainment. So can we go through this one more time as far as the amazing lineup you guys have?
Sure. Go ahead. Have you got the list right there?
I think I do. So there's the nation's top drag king. There's someone from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 3, and then the powerhouse talents of India Farah?
That's right. India Farah is from RuPaul's Drag Race Season number 3, I believe, and an outstanding performer. Gigi, your local Gigi, is just an anomaly. She is the most amazing person we've ever known here in Anchorage, and she comes to our show, and she just tears the place up. She does her Reba, and she does Dolly Parton, and she does Cher. Oh, my gosh, the place just comes unglued. Frankly, we would love to steal her from you.
No.
You know, truly.
No.
You know, and so with Gigi's international connections, of all the other drag shows all across our country, she is able to pick and choose her girlfriends and bring them up, you know, girl, G-U-R-L, girlfriends, and bring them up and host them in your city. Oh, my gosh, frankly, you Junoites have got one of the most amazing drag communities going on than we do here in Anchorage. I'm so impressed and so thrilled to be there.
All right.
Number two, we've got one of the most amazing drag kings coming. So totally, completely a thrill for that. So for both the men and the women, for the guys and the gals, this is going to be a show with diversity. And like I said, everything has happened this past week. We're going to spread some love. Got it?
Yes, got it. There. Okay, well, we've got to go. Thank you for joining us by phone. Looking forward to your arrival here and the show tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Centennial Hall. And Lynn, thank you for coming by.
Sure.
And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 16th of June, 2016. Today is Bloomsday, the day to celebrate James Joyce's novel Ulysses, in which the action takes place on June 16, 1904. The main character, Leopold Bloom, a Jewish ad salesman, lives on the north side of Dublin, gets up in the morning and eats breakfast, and serves his wife breakfast in bed. Doesn't have much work to do on this day, so he spends most of his day wandering around Dublin doing errands, leaves his house, walks south across the River Liffey, picks up a letter, buys a bar of soap, goes to the funeral of a man he didn't know very well. In the afternoon, he eats a cheese sandwich. He feeds some gulls in the river, helps a blind man cross the street, visits a couple of pubs, thinks about his job, his wife, his daughter, muses about life and death, reincarnation. He knows that his wife is planning to cheat on him that afternoon at his house, and he spends a lot of time thinking about the days when he was happier. In the evening, he meets up with the young writer, Stephen Dedalus, who is drunk, so Bloom takes him home with him, offers to let him spend the night. They stand outside looking at the stars for a while, and then Bloom goes inside and climbs into bed with his wife. James Joyce chose June 16th, 1904 as the date for his novel because it was on that day that he went on his first date with his great love, Nora Barnacombe. Today it's a national holiday in Ireland. Today is the birthday of Joyce Carol Oates, born in Lockport, New York, 1938, grew up on a farm in nearby Millersport. The area became the inspiration for the fictional Eden County, where many of her stories are set. Her parents were not educated. She was the first in her family to graduate from high school, but they encouraged her in her passion for reading. She went on to Syracuse University, graduated valedictorian, published her first collection of short stories by the North Gate a few years after she graduated. Joyce Carol Oates, who writes for 8 hours a day, who's published more than 100 books, plays, poetry, novels, memoirs, story, essay collections. Her latest book is the novel The Man Without a Shadow, came out this year, the story of a man whose short-term memory was destroyed after he contracted encephalitis. And it's written in the present tense because he can only remember things that have happened in the last 70 seconds. Here's a poem for today by David Lehman entitled June 16. It's Bloom's Day in Dublin, and wherever Ulysses works as an advertising man with an unfaithful wife, as I sit here listening to a lecture on Flannery O'Connor, Frank O'Connor, and the O'Hara boys, John and Frank, I think of going to Dublin with you, buying a toy wedding ring at Woolworth's, and the phrase mock funeral comes to me. I don't know what it means, though. I remember being the groom at a mock wedding with a girl named Anne in 1956. I was 8, and so was she, and all the other children were in the procession. It was the first hot night in June, and yes, she said, yes, I will. Yes. A poem by David Lehman, June 16, from The Daily Mirror, published by Scribner Poetry, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by LegalZoom, providing legal help to Americans with online services, customer support, and independent legal advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Programming support for this station comes from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. More information at ConocoPhillips.com.
Hello, it is 35 minutes past the hour. You are listening to the Thursday, June 16th edition of Juno Afternoon. Jeff Brown's at the board. He is the producer and engineer of the show, and he's wearing his Alaskan shirt, kind of like a Hawaiian shirt, but with Alaska's map all over it. I'm Joan Pardis. I am your Thursday host. It's 76 degrees in beautiful Juneau. And our next guest is Jerry Harmon. He is here to talk about the 26th annual Gold Rush Days, which is taking place this weekend, June 18th and 19th, over in Douglas at Sandy Beach, the Savico Park. Well, welcome, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So I think most of our listeners are familiar with the Gold Rush Days because it's an iconic June event that happens. It's free. It's open to families. It's got a great kid program. It's got lots of competitions as far as fascinating things to watch. You even have teen events. But how did it all get started, Gold Rush Days?
Gold Rush got started back in 1990. Three gentlemen got together, John Sandor, J.P. Tangen, and Roger Griffin, thought that we should form an organization to let the people of Juneau and Alaska know that miners are like everybody else. We have kids and boats, and we fish and hunt and go to church, do all those things. So they asked me to help them out early on, the first one. And we put together a mining competition, if you will. And later on, we got the loggers joined us. And so now we have a mining and logging competition. Within that, like you said, we have the kids' events, 12 to 17, compete. And they're pretty competitive. They'll be, in another year, they'll be competing right along with the miners and maybe possibly working in a mine.
Right. And so that teen event, the 12 to 17-year-olds competing, that's at 2 to 3 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday, right?
It is, yes.
Okay. And let's just talk a little bit about, so I was going to ask you about the competitions, but before we even get there, I know that you have bouncy houses, you have the Ruth Roberts Children's Carnival and gold panning. That's 1 to 3 Saturday and Sunday. It's open from 9 to 5, and it's just a really fun Juneau, grab your family and go. But what kind of competitions do they have, as far as the logging and the mining?
The mining events start Saturday, and we have jackleg drilling, which is a piece of equipment that's used today in the mines. We use them at the Kensington and at Greens Creek. And we do mucking into an ore cart. That's where you shovel rock and dirt into a ore cart. That's all. Everything's a timed event, and you have to go dump that, and it's just like you would if you were in a mine working. And then we do spike driving. That's a pretty tough job, but both men and women compete in these events. On Sunday, we have the logging events. We climb the spar tree. You'll never see me up there, but my daughters and other people around, the women come out and do really well. They do as well as some of the men that do those. I understand that we do have some loggers coming in from out of town this year to compete, which is good. So there'll be a full day of logging on Sunday.
Okay. All right. So if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Jerry Harmon. He's here to talk about 26th annual Gold Rush Day. It's funded by many of our community members, our businesses, and Alaska Airlines, and Hecla, and Alaska Marine Lines, and the Juneau Radio Center, Core Alaska, Red Path, Cat Machinery. And we should go check it out. The 18th and 19th, rain or shine, 9 to 5. But
we have lots of food to eat over there, too.
What kind of food?
Oh, there's barbecue, pork, the spinning pigs there again this year. Fat Mo's is there. And we'll have just about anything you might want to eat. Garfield's fried bread, he's there again. Mm. The Cucamonga donuts.
Oh, yeah.
I never say that right. But,
yeah.
But
so this is one of our, you know, iconic Juneau events, and it's a big carnival type event, come and watch the spectacle of miners and loggers competing against each other. It sounds great.
Yeah, the miners and loggers are athletes, so they practice and they train to do these events.
You know, I saw this Ketchikan show. I took a cruise with my family. They came up here. It sounds really corny for a Juneauite to do that, but I did that, and I went to the Ketchikan logging show, and I just loved it. So here's our very own right here, free, open to the whole family. Go check it out. See how these people make their living and how they compete with one another. Sounds great.
We have 10,000 people on average show up for the 2 days.
Okay. Well, that's about one-third of Juneau, so join the party and come down to the sandy beach. All right, Jerry, thanks so much for coming by and telling us about this weekend's Juneau Gold Rush. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to have a phone interview with a puppet company that's coming up to do Sleepy Hollow at the Valley Library next week. Hello, we're back. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. It is 16 minutes to the hour. Jeff's at the board. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, and our puppeteers are not available at the moment, but we do have Megan Garrison from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. She braved the hot weather to come across the street and tell us what is going on. She's filling in for Nancy DeCherney in our Arts Up weekly section. So, Megan, what's going on in Juno?
Well, we've got quite a few things as usual, but tomorrow is another Food Truck Friday, or as we're calling it, Rock Around the Block, because it's a big block party in between the Jack and the APK building, the new museum. This one's going to be really, really fun. It's salsa and Latin dance.
Yes, so. I hear that. Heather Hoglund and Antonio Diaz, is that his last name?
Yep.
I just know them. Heather and Antonio are our local salsa king and queen are coming up. They're going to do some instruction. And let me look. Tomorrow is cloudy, but I don't see rain.
I don't know if I'll believe it, though. Yeah. I feel like today was cloudy, too, but now it's not.
Yeah, well, you know, we get this weather, and we're like, completely convinced it's going to last like this.
That's so true.
Like, I don't know, weather amnesia. Oh, no, it's always like this in Juno.
It'll last for weeks.
Except we're all hysterical. Like, oh, we've got to get out.
Yeah, my body shuts down. I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, that's it. We're all moles. So, yeah, so that sounds fun. And I heard your first one was last week or something like that.
It was great.
I heard it was great. I was out of town.
The Capital City Big Band kicked it off. There were so many people dancing and little kids out there. I mean, it was just beautiful. It's a great community event, so we're really excited to keep it going.
And the museum's open.
It is. Open. It's open.
Yeah, I have to go.
Go see. And don't forget.
Rainy day I'm in.
Yeah, I know. I could spend hours in there. If you donate to Friends of the Slam, then you get different levels of passes.
Oh, cool.
Instead of paying a daily fee.
Okay, that's good to know. And we can check that out all online.
Yep.
And how would we, because I know it's called the APK and the Slam, if we're searching for it, well, how would we?
So Friends of the Slam is a support nonprofit that helps out the State Museum, and they are at foeslam.org.
Okay, great. All right, so that's tomorrow night, and then we know that Gold Rush Days is happening at Sandy Beach Saturday and Sunday. Sounds really fun. We know that the big drag show is tomorrow night as well.
It's tomorrow night, and then there's also a really great fundraiser going on at the Jack for Chris Lambertson. It's a ALS fundraiser. He's a local guy in town, so if you don't have enough to do, check out the fundraiser. They've got all kinds of games and food and music.
Sounds good. And what else is going on this weekend?
Then we've got, running down my list, let's see, well, our art tours go on. We've got Makerspace Open Shop every Monday, which is really cool. If you haven't heard of Makerspace, you can go in for free on Mondays and check it out. They've got lots of really neat tools, 3D printers. If you need something and you don't have that tool, that's where you can go. Next week is my Arts Roundtable. It's a monthly meeting held on Tuesdays. That's 5 at the Jack. And then on Tuesday as well is a free yoga session led by the Yoga Path, and it's at Ock Rec.
Oh, fun.
So bring a mat and appropriate wear and celebrate solstice. Then on Wednesday, I think we've got just the usual. Our juried youth exhibit is still running. This is one of the last weeks to see it. If you haven't seen it, it's absolutely phenomenal.
They've done a great job.
Yep, it's here in the Jack Gallery, and this is the last week it's up.
It's really unbelievable. High school.
So high school, really, middle school, some amazing talent in there. So it slows down a little bit throughout the week, but lots of art tours, which I could tell you a little bit about.
I do want to hear about this. So every week Nancy comes in and she tells us that there's an art map and there's these art tours, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. Like, I could guess, but can you tell us?
Yeah, of course. Well, we've had a lot of interest by tourists and also local people or visitors, family and friends of local people, looking to hear more about public art and good spots to go around town if you're interested in art. So what we did is compiled everything from public art, murals, totem poles, to open studios where people are working, like M.K. McNaughton has her sketch studio, and she's usually there. David Woody's another prolific artist who's frequently in his studio. So we put it all together on one single map, and you can come pick up a map at the Jack. Got it here. I'm handing it over.
As I grab it out of your hand.
And all the spots are listed, so you can take yourself on a tour if you don't want to go with one of our volunteers. But if you do want to be led around and learn a little bit more about the history and what's what, then meet at 1 p.m. at the kiosk in front of the tram that is JCVB's kiosk.
When? 1 p.m.?
Sunday through Wednesday.
Oh, wow. Okay. And is there a fee for that?
It is $20, but we're running a promotion. So if you mention a radio code, and it's only $10. And then you end up at the Jack at the very end, and you get coffee or tea, cookies. On a day like today, it'd probably be something more like punch.
Yeah, lemonade type of day.
We've had a lot of great feedback. We had an art writer from down south who was visiting, and he was the very first one who took the tour, which was great. And we're pretty proud of it. It's got a lot of information. There's also a QR code on the back of the map that you can scan with your cell phone, and more descriptions pop up that are on our website and blog. So it's a good resource.
All right, that sounds great. So, Megan, while I have you here, can you tell us a little bit about the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, how many people work over there, if people want to volunteer, what you guys do? I know you do a lot.
We do. We are essentially an umbrella organization tasked with encouraging vibrant arts and culture in Juneau, and that means everything from having a lobby shop to putting on a season concert series, which is going to kick off here in August. We provide rental spaces for other nonprofit groups and community members. We like to think that we're the center of the world, but we work very closely with other nonprofits. We work closely with K2, with Perseverance Theater, Juno Lyric Opera, all these other arts groups in town. And my job specifically has been to help with any kind of artist support that's needed around town. So the gallery, the lobby shop, First Friday, all that kind of jazz. Although I'm transitioning now and helping Nancy out with some more executive admin type things.
Okay, great. All right. And can we talk a little bit about the break-in at the lobby shop? I'm not sure if our...
You know, I don't have the authority to do that, but Eric Scott, our president, and Nancy should be talking about it here soon. Okay. I will say that the recovery is going really well. We're getting more things back in. The glass is back in. Thank you to Perseverance Glass, who has been working really hard this week to replace it all. And the community support has just been phenomenal. And I think when something hard and violent happens, it really brings out the best in people and the community. And the overwhelming donations and volunteer effort has really been encouraging. So,
and if people,
thank you to all of those volunteers.
Yeah, Juno's amazing.
And donors.
Juno's really amazing. If somebody is listening and they do want to support the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, either financially or with their time, but they don't know, you know,
how to
start the process, how would they?
So we've got a link on our website right on the front page there if you feel like donating, which is probably the most efficient thing you could do to help us through this recovery period. But if you need to volunteer some time or just come in and say hi, then come see me. I work from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, or email me. You can email info@jack.org, or my personal email is Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, @jack.org, and I can help direct that volunteer effort.
Okay, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. Megan Garrison from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council has taken the opportunity to walk across the way. Their buildings are adjacent to one another. And we're talking about tomorrow's The Glitch Show at Centennial Hall, the drag show with some international artists. Sounds great. And then the big night with Heather and Antonio Salsa dancing
block
outside.
Party. Yeah.
Yeah, block party out.
Get your Latin dance on.
Right, with the new museum. And then Juno Art, the Juno Gold Rush Days this weekend at Sandy Beach. You can check out all those events online. Just check it out.
Yeah.
All right. And then as far as the Juno Arts and Humanities Council season, what's cooking for next year? You said the first concert or the first event will be August. What is that?
Our season is in the process of being set. We're waiting for some contract signatures right now. We've got a really exciting concert coming up in September to be announced at a later date. And then a really cool gamut of acts, everything from music to theater and all those in between, including a local Alaskan artist. So we're really pumped for this season. And, of course, we can never forget all of those fun fundraising parties we host, like the Naughty or Nice one. Food Fest is coming up in August, so that'll be really, really fun. And then Wearable Art, we're already starting to cook on that. So.
Right. That's great. Well, thanks for coming by and all you do and for all your cohorts over there.
Of course. Go thanks
have
for
a
having
great
me.
Day and enjoy the sun. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. It's 5 minutes to the hour.
Support comes from the Alaska Robotics Gallery, offering art that features narwhals, squid, and flying whales, located at 220 Front Street in downtown Juneau. More information at alaskarobotics.com.
This is Bird Note. For centuries, humans, in gathering food, have taken advantage of the swift flight, keen sight, and diving ability of birds. Think of cormorants helping fishermen in China, for example. But loons have turned the tables on us. Imagine this. You're fishing a small lake in the interior of Canada. Trout rise to snatch midges and mayflies. Suddenly, a trout strikes your fly. Trying to keep a tight line on the hard-fighting fish, you reel in rapidly. But just then, you're startled to see a black-and-white shape torpedo under your boat. Alerted by the sound of your reel, a loon follows the trout in hot pursuit. If the fish is small, the loon may take it right off the end of your line. If you succeed in bringing the trout to hand, the loon will wait for your release in hopes of making a meal of the tired fish. To feed itself, the bird has learned to take advantage of the human. Are you, or do you know someone who can't always catch Bird Note on the radio? Well, reel in Bird Note as a podcast anytime, complete with photos. Subscribe to our podcast at birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/park/diamond park. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782.
Well, thank you for sharing your day with Juno Afternoon, Jeff and I, Jeff at the board, and I'm at the mic, Joan Pardis. So tonight, increasing clouds, lows around 53. Tomorrow, cloudy, cooler, isolated showers, and same for tomorrow night. Saturday, mostly cloudy, isolated showers, and then partly cloudy Saturday night, and then sunny on Sunday. So tomorrow, Juno Afternoon, 3 p.m., a special program, Outtakes from the Unheard Stories of LGBTQ Teens. If you're in support of that community, I strongly urge you to send an email to your assembly member and let them know that you would like to add them to the non-discrimination ordinance or go to the assembly chambers on Tuesday at 6. Thank you for listening.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3.